Well, it is so wonderful to see you in the house of the Lord today, and we certainly welcome you back to our second services and here at the chapel at Cross Point, and for all of you who are visiting with us for the first time. What a delight to have you here today. Well, we survived our first day, and you know, a first day service in a new facility is a lot like a wedding. It's full of excitement, fun, unexpected moments, and it seems that everyone is always happy. That is, with the exception of the dad of the bride, who could not be happy because there's never been anyone that could certainly be deserving of the hand of his daughter. But otherwise, most everybody is usually happy at a wedding. I've performed many weddings over the years, and here's what I've found common to all of them. After every wedding comes a marriage. And you single guys out there, if you thought the wedding was expensive, just hang on. Wait till you get married. And by the way, expenses do not go down with age. And so if you are single, well, bless your heart. If you're married, bless your heart. And I've always said that it's a lot better to be single and wish you were married than to be married and wish you were single. But the fact is, it would be hard for me to think of how our first Sunday could have been any better. The music, the energy, the presence of God, and of course the capstone of the entire day is the 16 people who last Saturday night, a week ago Saturday night, went to bed without knowing about the Lord, and by Sunday morning they were born again, headed for heaven. That was the capstone of the day. And like I said, it could just about be said it was perfect, with the possible exception of trying to get in or out of the parking lot. But we think that we have that pretty well settled, and I think you found that it was a vast improvement today. Our first day was indeed wonderful, but like a marriage follows a wedding, a ministry follows a first day. We can't always just sit and bask in the glory of that first day, or simply continue to come and look around thanking God for His goodness and the beauty of what God has provided for us. And so we have a responsibility. We have a challenge. And I know summer's coming, and we fully understand your desire to get away, and I would say your need to get away and spend some time with your family and or alone if need be. After living for 5 winters in Buffalo, New York, I understand fully the need to get as much summer in as possible. And so we do not begrudge your taking the time. However, summer's the perfect time to begin to gear up for the ministry this coming fall that could prove to be, in my mind, unparalleled in many, many lives. And I'm including myself in that. I really believe we're about to move into a period of time in the history of the chapel that will be absolutely phenomenal in the impact that it will have on each of our life. And it's called the 40 Days of Purpose. Many of you have read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. The amazing thing is that many of your friends and neighbors have also read the book. And for those who have not, many of them have at least heard about the book. Its driving feature is to seek to answer what I believe may be the most important question of life. What on this earth, or what in this world, am I here for? Why was I placed here? I think probably the overriding question, whether people coming to church or people not coming to church, the fact is, regardless of what may have brought you here today, if it's common for you to attend church, the fact still remains the most important question you can ever answer in your life is, why am I here on this earth? Why did God create the kind of background in my life? Because they're varied. As many people as there are in this auditorium, there are that many varied backgrounds. Why did God place me in a family or a home where there was abusive relationships? Why did God place me in a home where everything was just wonderful, and I had wonderful parents. Why did my parents desert me and leave me to be raised in an orphanage? Why did those things happen? You must understand that nothing is by accident. And yes, some of those things are hard and difficult, and certainly difficult to understand or explain. But let me say this. The fact is, God has made your background in such a way to prepare you for the particular assignment and purpose that He has for your life. And that's the reason why that question is so important to answer. What on earth am I here for? And by the end of this campaign, it is our prayer that everyone at the chapel will have not only read the book, but to have used it as a tool to open your life up to a new level of impact and a new deeper meaning in your personal experience as you go through this life. I've chosen the classic passage on the subject of purpose as our text verse today. Call to God's purpose. What is that? Well, Romans 8:28 states it like this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Notice that it does not say all things are good. Aren't you glad of that? Just that all things work together for good. That means bad and good things. But the bad things are only good if we understand the finished product. The fact is, some of the worst experiences in your life and mine are often stepping stones to some of the greatest blessings and experiences. Example, let's just take a simple thing like making a cake to help us understand Romans 8:28 and how bad things and good things working together can bring about good experiences or good things. The individual ingredients are often not edible, or at least they're not tasty. For instance, a cake includes, or cookies include, flour, but you would never enjoy just sitting down and eating a cup of flour. In the first place, you'd only get about 3 spoonfuls down and your mouth would lock up. You wouldn't be able to go any further just eating flour. Also, how would you like to take down a big tablespoon full of raw vanilla extract? Have you ever tried to eat a cup of sugar, just eat a cup of sugar? Well, of course not, because it wouldn't be tasty. Or what about taking maybe a half a cup of Crisco and just drinking it down? It'd slide down pretty slick. Or eating a half cup of lard or something like that. It doesn't even sound good, does it? But if you take all of those ingredients, and by the way, those are all ingredients necessary to make a good cake or bake cookies. When I was a kid, one of the highlights of my life was the privilege of licking the bowl. Now, that language will not relate to many in this room. You're far too young. But licking the bowl was a big deal in my day, especially since when I was about 4 or 5, my older siblings were off at school, and so I was the only one at home. My sister was not yet born, and so I had the bowl to myself. And my mother, in her graciousness, and by the way, she's here today, so she can attest to the story. She would make cookies and she would prepare them during the day while the other two were at school, so they'd have something to have when they came home. And she would leave an extra amount of the mix in the bowl because she knew that I was standing at her feet waiting for the bowl. And so she was a little bit like Boaz in the book of Ruth. Remember Boaz when we had his harvesters harvest the grain? He said, look, I want you to leave some handfuls on purpose so that when Ruth comes by, she gets an extra helping. Well, that's what my mother was doing. She was giving me that extra helping. And of course, kids today know nothing of that because perchance their mother would even bake a cake. Some idiot inventor came along and created the rubber spatula, and the rubber spatula will clean out a bowl so slick that you don't even have to wash it before you use it again. And so, yeah, little kids, they have no idea what it is to lick the bowl. No sign of cake or cookie dough left. I feel sorry for this generation. They have missed so much. Not in my day. There were significant amounts of cake dough left in the mixing bowl. Here's what I mean. Take a look. Yeah. Okay. That was my grandson, by the way. Today we're not talking about cake or cookies, but rather we're talking about life. There's a God-ordained purpose for each of us, and He takes good experiences, bad experiences, and all the in-between stuff, and He mixes it together and creates a wonderful life experience for us. Well, listen to God's personal way and as He speaks through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Interestingly enough, God sometimes creates a background and various experiences in our life, and all the while He's bringing us to a place where He can introduce to us the most vital and significant relationship of our lifetime, and that's a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. God's unmistakable desire is that everyone come to a saving knowledge of Christ. In fact, a few weeks ago, Pastor Jerry, while expounding this verse, said, "This is not a divine decree, but a longing desire by God." In other words, he was saying that this statement, that He's not willing that any should perish, isn't something established so that, in fact, everyone who in the world will ultimately come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But he's really talking about the longing desire that God has for every one of us to discover the grace of God and the full forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. He has made us free moral agents. We do have a choice in the matter. We're not human robots. If we are to fulfill the purpose that God has for us, the starting point is to establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The 40 days of purpose that you're going to hear more and more about will encourage many to do that very thing, to decide for God. Last week, 16 people decided for God. I can't think of a more fitting way to break in a new building than for sinners to come to the Savior. I don't know if it will happen, but thank God it has happened again today. But I mentioned to Pastor Jerry in the early service, wouldn't it be great over the years to come as he leads this church into the future that every service that ever takes place at the chapel at Cross Point will have at least someone who will come into vital saving relationship to Jesus Christ, that we'd never have a spiritual dry spell in this place. I don't know if God will provide that, but wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer to pray and ask God to keep us focused on that which is the main thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, to decide for God, listen to this wonderful truth in John 1:9-12. That was the true light that which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, speaking of the Jewish people or race, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on His name. The 40 days of purpose that will commence on September the 18th, and you ought to write that in your calendar, September the 18th, will launch what we believe could be the greatest harvest of souls in Western New York's history. You know, I just believe and have believed ever since the time I came here. The first time I spoke here, I had no idea that I would come back and be senior pastor. But that was 6 years ago this month. I think it was actually the third Sunday in June of 1999 that I came for the first time. But from the time that I began to be more involved, I recognized that for some reason God had chosen this part of our country, Western New York, of all places, to actually initiate a plan to really impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that I think that we have just scratched the surface as far as potential is concerned. And the 40 days of purpose is to raise the level of our sensitivity to be sensitive to the souls of men. 40 days of purpose will not only cause people to decide for God, but it will teach and motivate us to declare our faith. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, Let those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, let's talk about it. Let people know about it. I had a young man walk up to me in the fireplace room a few moments ago, and he was talking about something that had happened to him. I suppose he's maybe 21 or 22 years of age. And he said, Pastor, he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, it seems like everywhere I go, I can't help but talk about what has happened in my life, the story of the change that's taken place. He said, people begin to ask me questions. And he said, I've only been coming for just a few months. He said, and I started answering questions that I didn't even know I knew the answer to. Well, that's a wonderful truth, because that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works. And he had a buddy standing beside him. He said, I think he's being called to be an evangelist. that's great. But he's talking about telling the story. Telling the story to declare our faith. Many of you, maybe most of you, have had a desire to share your faith with some friend or relative, but always found it a little difficult or awkward. And I want you to know that I understand that. Not everyone has the grasp of Scripture that gives you adequate confidence, or if you have that you have the knowledge of the Word of God, maybe you lack the confidence to have the communication skills necessary to tell your story. We want to help you break through that barrier during this 40 days of purpose. If you're a child of God, a born-again believer, I want you to know you have a wonderful story to tell. You have a story. You don't have to tell your whole lifetime or your whole life experience. But if you have been born again, if God has come into your life, there's a difference between the way you are today and the way you used to be. That's how God works. You have a wonderful story to tell. And it's not a matter of bragging on yourself. That's not what we do. We brag on Jesus Christ. That's what it is to tell the story. Another incredible feature that will take place during the 40 days of purpose. It will deepen your walk. It will deepen your walk. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Paul makes it clear that we're to deepen our walk. He says that, in fact, is our calling. Did you ever think of that? That our calling, that is, and people ask the question, well, when were you called of God? And I had a wonderful time this week to share with a young man about how God called me into the ministry. I'll never forget Dr. John R. Rice, and something he shared one time in our home. I thought I'd ask one of those questions that would kind of deepen our conversation, and I wanted him to know that, you know, I had a real interest in his background, and so I said, well, Dr. Rice, when were you called into the ministry? And, you know, I thought he would tell me some incredible story about how lightning struck him or something, you know, and God called him into ministry. And he looked at me and he said, well, he said, you know, a long time ago when I was just a young man, I volunteered and God never did reject me. End of story. And he was in the ministry for years and years and wrote hundreds and hundreds of books concerning the Word of God. Well, a young man this week talked with me about the call. But let me tell you what the real call is. It's not just a call to the ministry. We are called, according to what I just read, to deepen our walk with God. Ephesians 4:2 says, walk. That is, the word is understood. Here's what it says. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There are five things that features concerning our deepening walk. One, he says, walk in humility. Walk with all lowliness. Avoid the avoidance of arrogance is what he's talking about. Speaking, walking in humility, having a heart of humbleness. He says also, be gentle, gentleness. Watch what you say. And how you say it. These are features. These are growing features. And by the way, this would be a great list to kind of guide you through the coming week in your relationships to people, your family. And the third thing, long suffering. Don't be easily ticked off. Don't be easily offended. I was reminded as I was speaking this morning of a man that used to work with me and on the staff. And sometimes he would talk about how he was offended by something that happened on Sunday. And sometimes it had to do, or most of the time, I got to tell you, it had to do with music, how someone sang a song that wasn't quite appropriate, or someone sang a song with the wrong style, or, you know, he's always kind of just nitpicking, and I just about, I'd heard all I wanted to hear, and he kept using that term. He said, you know, I was offended at such and such, and I was offended at such and such, and I said, well, I got a message for you. According to God's Word, the Bible tells us, if we are mature believers, God says, do not be easily offended. Don't get ticked off easily. That's what he's talking about when he says long suffering. He also says give people space. Give others the same space to improve that you give yourself. Wouldn't that be good? You know, it's pretty easy for us to give ourselves space, but God says to give space to others. And then in the same passage, he says, let it be Spirit-led. One leader dictating everyone's behavior. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I could say anything more impactful, more significant than this statement here today. Do you understand that as believers, as a church, here we are, a body of believers? And you know, I know that Pastor Jerry and I are co-pastors. I understand that. But do you know that the ultimate leader, if you don't believe this, to read the book of Colossians, the ultimate leader is Jesus Christ. He's the head of this church. And listen closely. He has given to each of us as believers the Holy Spirit of God. And so guess what? We are led in this place by the same headship of the Holy Spirit of God. We're driven, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're driven by the same thing, the same leader, Spirit-led, one leader dictating everyone's behavior. Not only will 40 days of purpose deepen your walk, but it'll also cause us to distribute the Word. Jesus expresses the importance of the Word in a conversation that he was having with God in John 17:14. Jesus said, I have given them your word. This is Jesus talking to the Father. I have given them your word. And then in verse 17, he appeals to God, the Father, and he says, sanctify them, or deepen their walk is the idea, by your truth, because your word is truth. We have a responsibility to share this incredible book with people. That's the reason, as you've heard me say it, and Pastor Jerry say it over and over again, that when people come to the chapel at Cross Point, this is what we're longing to hear. This is what draws us. This is what drives us. This is the appeal, the Word of God. And the reason why is because we're called upon to distribute the Word, to preach the Word, to share the Word. Someone was distributing the Word in Acts 6:7 when it says the Word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Someone distributed the Word in Acts 12:24 when it says the Word of God grew and multiplied. Someone was distributing the Word in Samaria in Acts 8:14 when it says Samaria had received the Word of God. And someone was distributing the Word in Acts 11:1 when it says the Gentiles had received the Word of God. The Word of God was gaining such momentum in the days that Paul was preaching on a certain Sabbath day in the city of Antioch in the region of Pisidia. And here's what is said about the following Sabbath, after he had distributed the Word of God on the previous Sabbath in Acts 13:44. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. You know, that's my dream. You know, I would pray that there's a time, ladies and gentlemen, that there is such a hunger and thirst for the Word of God, and we have distributed it so well through every life in this room, that this place couldn't contain those who are hungering for the Word of God if we had 15 services. Pastor Jerry, my prayer for you is that in years to come, that you'll have so, there'll be so many people hungering for the Word of God that you can't even hold all of them in here. You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to establish churches all over the region in order for the gospel to be distributed. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is an hour like no other hour in our history, and it involves every one of us to be engaged. During the 40 days of purpose, we're going to make it easier than ever for you to distribute the Word in your own neighborhood and throughout the Buffalo region. We're getting ready for a significant lock and load time pertaining to the gospel message, and we want and need everyone's involvement. If you've never been involved before, then make this your first time. If you've been involved before, let this just be a continuation. If you've been involved and then you quit, then re-enlist. There are no bonuses for re-enlisting except one day you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I don't know if there's a better bonus that could possibly be dished out than to hear those words from our Savior. Before I tell you what you can do to be a part of this 40 days of purpose, let me tell you one other feature of it. It emphasizes the discipling of believers. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know this passage well. It is what we refer to as the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. These were the last words of our Lord. And for the last 2,000 years, these words have been our marching orders. Here's how it will break out in the month of September. And by the way, September the 18th is the date that you want to mark, if you haven't already done so by my earlier reference. September the 18th. We will launch a special series of messages. Pastor Jerry will be speaking for 7 straight Sundays. And there's a reason we're doing this, but he's going to be preaching for 7 straight Sundays. And he's going to be speaking on the purpose-driven life. He's going to be speaking on everyone discovering their real purpose and how to engage and how to find that ultimate fulfillment that everyone is searching for. Along with that, we're going to have weekly opportunities for you to engage with other people. And the same lessons you hear during the week are the same messages, not the same lessons particularly, but along those same areas. And here's what you're going to discover during that period of time. There are 5 major things you're going to discover. Not only will you have the sense of discovering that first question, what on earth am I doing here? Why am I here on this earth? But notice something else. You're going to discover that you were planned for God's purpose. You were planned for God's purpose. You were formed for God's family. God, in a remarkable way, has designed you to fit into the body of Christ. We call it the church, the body of Christ. It's referred to as the bride of Christ. You've heard all of those terms previously in messages that Pastor Jerry and I've preached, but it talks about how the hand fits to the arm and how we're put together in a unique way. And not all of us do the same thing. The hand can't say to the foot, "I don't have any need of you," because we all need one another. God has formed you to fit into God's family. That's God's design. Number 3, you were created to become like Christ. And we're all getting there. I've heard my wife say this occasionally speaking to ladies. God does not have any alumni in His school of development. There are no graduates. We're all somewhere growing and developing. But you were created to become like Christ. You were shaped for serving God. You were shaped. You have a certain ingredient in you. You have a certain ability in you that will fit right into God's plan, right into God's church, for you to be able to engage in ministry of some form, serving God. Number 5, you were made for mission. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, and I may have said this in one of the earliest messages I preached here at the chapel. I said to you, we are all on mission. I don't want to miss my mission. Now, I got news for you. When your mission is over, then you're going to heaven. It doesn't make any difference if you're 13, 20, or 65, or 90. When your mission is over, so understand this, as long as you are alive and relatively well, you are on mission. And even if you are in difficult circumstances physically, let me say to you, you're on mission. You know what you're saying? By some of you, I may be speaking to someone that you have a sickness that may have been stated as creating a limited time for you. Understand this. Don't just wait to die. Understand that you are on mission. Because somebody needs to see that your love and your confidence and your faith is so great that whether you live or die, you can be like the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, for me to live is Christ. Somebody comes up and says, we'll just kill you then. And he said, and to die is gain. What do you do with a guy like that? You know, I think of the Englishman one time. They're getting ready to chop off his head. And his statement was, as he put his head on the gallows, it matters little how the head lies if the heart lies right. You know, you're on mission, and I'm on mission. The tragic thing would be for your life to get wrapped up, conclude, and you never find the mission. You know, I mentioned a little earlier about one of the major features of the 40 Days of Purpose is it will cause many to decide for God. The reason why is because you're going to connect. You as a congregation are going to connect with hundreds and hundreds of people. And in the environment of being able to tell your story, there's going to create a hunger. And then the Word of God will be preached, which will create a magnetism to draw people to the cross of Jesus Christ. And many, because of that, will decide to become believers in Jesus Christ. You know, in this room today, and I the message today is a preparatory. I'll get it out in a minute. It's a preparation time. It's a I can't even say it. A preparatory message for the days ahead. This is our time to prepare for some incredible moments in our life personally and in our lives collectively. But you know, I realize and understand that when I mentioned earlier about some deciding for Jesus Christ last week and then some deciding for Christ this morning, I realize that in an audience this size, there are people who've walked in here and I don't know all the reasons why you're here. You know, it may be that you're here a little bit of curiosity to kind of see what the place looks like or see what we sound like or maybe a friend just said, hey, come to church with me. And that's wonderful. Or maybe the fact that for some reason today you said, you know, I just really desperately need to go to church. It's kind of like the song we sang a little earlier. When we sang out, I'm desperate for you. There may be some people listening to my voice that's your heart right now. You say, you know, I'm in a desperate situation. I really desperately need God. Well, it's not any accident that you're here today. You see, God wants you too. He wants you to decide for Jesus as well. And here's the deal. If you cannot answer this question with a sense of confidence, then I want you to listen closely to the balance of this message because it's really for you today. If someone were to ask you the question, and I'm asking it, if you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? And if there's just a major question mark, and say, well, you know, I'd like to think I would. I've been a pretty good person. I've tried to be a good person. In fact, that's kind of the reason I'm here at church today. I thought maybe if I'd come to church today that maybe I'd gain a little sense of what heaven is all about. It may be that someone twisted your arm. Maybe your wife tricked you into coming. I don't know. But whatever it was, understand this. It's not an accident that you're here. This is not an accidental moment. This is God making His appeal to you. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, here's what I know about you. I know that down deep in your heart, there's a desire to know Him. Now, sometimes that desire is pretty hot, pretty aggressive. Other times, you kind of, you know, it's not. I understand that. But, you know, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me appeal to you to decide for Him today. I'm going to just ask you to just bow your heads for a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If I've just described you in some fashion or form, let me encourage you to talk to God about it. say something like this and do it in your heart. I'm gonna give you some words to say, and you don't have to say them exactly like I say them. Maybe that, you know, it's not your language or whatever, but something like this, and just say this to God in your own heart, not out loud. Say something like this: God, I really am desperate for you. I didn't realize how desperate until this morning. Or maybe you're a person that you've been searching for a long time. You'd say something like this: God, I'd like for my search to be over. I really would like to know that when I die someday, that I'd go to heaven. I didn't know I could know that, God. And this preacher says that I can. And God, if that's a way for me to know that, then I want to discover it. So God, today, as best I know how, I'm going to say, Lord, take my life. Take control of it. Because I'd like to finish my life with a clear sense that I'm living it for a purpose.